Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is the third Travel Commons Podcast, recorded on May 26th, and bits and pieces of it on May 27th. As always with the Travel Commons Podcast, we've got three topics for the day. First one is, as I promised in my last podcast, some comments around TSA, the Transportation Security happy band of folks at your screening posts. Given that I've been through a whole bunch of airports this week, I've got some thoughts and comments about my various experiences there. The second is some comments, thoughts around using the iPod to reduce travel stress. And then finally, one of my classic travel stories. You know, you give a road warrior a beer or give him a beer, or geez, just give him half a minute to talk, and you'll come up with some travel stories. And then as a reoccurring piece here on the Travel Commons Podcast, I'm going to tell you a few of mine. So I'm back on the road this week and coming to you from the bathroom of the Camelback Inn in Scottsdale, Arizona, because I don't have all the fancy broadcasting equipment and windscreens and reverb mixers. I surround myself by tile and hope that I get a better sound quality. It has been inordinately hot here in Phoenix this week. The maids have been nice enough to place cards on my bed reminding me every morning that it's going to be over 100 degrees each day that I'm here. So I arrived my first full day Wednesday, it was 108 degrees. Today, Thursday, 107. Tomorrow, Friday, it's supposed to be 104. So something that's a great thing to wake up to in the morning. Together with each of the the 5-day forecast card, they also give me a little card which is a picture of the front of the Camelback Inn in different quotes. And each of the quotes starts with the word remember. So the first one that I got was from Ralph Waldo Emerson, or the quote on the card was from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Remember, do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. The second card that I got yesterday was from Goethe. Remember, things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. And then this afternoon with the turndown service, Heidi Willis, who I've never heard of before, remember, life isn't about the breaths we take, it's about the moments that take our breath away. That beautiful sentiment right off of a Hallmark card, I guess. Maybe Heidi Willis was a Hallmark poet. But so that's what you get at Camelback Inn with the turndown service. You get a preview of blast furnace temperatures and a little bit of philosophy. So kind of a nice place. This has been a tough week or a busy travel week for me. Columbus, Tampa, through Dallas over to Phoenix, and then tomorrow morning I'm going to be in Orange County, and then tomorrow afternoon flying home to Chicago for the Memorial Day weekend. So my guess is that I'm not going to be able to get all of the vocal pieces done in the bathroom here at the Camelback this evening, because I've got a 6:30 flight out this morning. That's been the other joyous part of my travel this week has been every morning flight has left before 7 a.m. So the flight down to Columbus 6:50 a.m., the flight down to Tampa 6:30 a.m., the flight tomorrow to Orange County 6:27 a.m., I think. So I am quart low on sleep. So I'm going to try and get at least one of the segments out of the way here in the Camelback, and then probably pick up maybe a couple more in and around Orange County tomorrow morning.
You can either submit this now, or this is where you would mail it to.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. So I'm going to have to mail it, because now I'm tight for the flight now because of this. Okay. I got a question. Why does every complaint form look different?
Because I guess they don't make a standard one for us, so each administrative office makes their own. Then you send it to the customer service manager.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
So that was a little bit of iRiver recording of me talking to some of the TSA folks at Chicago Midway. as they were searching around looking for a complaint form after I had gotten a nice retaliatory secondary search from Tim on Lane 10, who didn't like the fact that I was questioning about him about why I had to take a pair of shoes off that never cause any problem at O'Hare. And indeed, as I went through this week, so far, Midway was the only TSA station to make me take these shoes off. There's no metal in them. The soles are thin. The heels are less than an inch. And yet, and so, of course, when I asked Tim, why was he making me take these shoes off, which seemed to pass muster at a number of other airports, Tim got a little perturbed, and even after I took the shoes off and put them through the X-ray machine, he made me go through the secondary screen anyhow. So that sort of ticked me off, and I went looking for a complaint form. And what you didn't hear on that quick vocal snippet was that there were people on walkie-talkies calling all over the place looking for a complaint form. They finally found it, and as you heard, there isn't a standard TSA complaint form. Every airport, every TSA group, and every airport makes up their own. And so you have to wonder, how seriously does the TSA take traveler complaints if they haven't even standardized on a complaint form? So my guess is those complaint forms go to some headquarters. If they're looked at, I'd be surprised. But they certainly don't move up. They don't seem to move up the food chain. If they did, they would have a standardized form. So my guess is TSA in Chicago, TSA in Washington, D.C., is not collecting any overall statistics around traveler complaints, which doesn't it doesn't surprise me given the attitude of many of the TSA stations. I think the last thing in the world they're worried about is politeness to travelers. So though I haven't had yet my experience at Phoenix or Orange County this week, I will say that Midway was really the one bad experience that I had. I had very good experience at O'Hare, but then again, I always have good experience at O'Hare. I'll tell you, I get the sense that the O'Hare TSA folks, those are the professionals. They're at the world's busiest airport. They know it. They know they've got experienced travelers, and a lot of them. And I'll tell you, those guys have the program down. And of all the airports that I travel through, I think some of the best TSA folks, and certainly the most reasonable and most polite folks, are at O'Hare. I will also tell you that at Columbus and Tampa, which are new airports for me, I haven't traveled through them recently. Really nice people at Columbus. Amazingly friendly people. I've always found that really the smaller airports seem to have the most by-the-book security folks. I don't know, maybe the small airport mentality brings out sort of a Napoleonic complex in security people. I've had some bad experiences with overzealous security folks. Tampa was a reasonable experience, certainly not as friendly as the folks in Columbus, but very reasonable folks, very businesslike. Again, no shoe carnival. They called it right around the shoes. And by the way, there were no big lines. People were moving through very crisply, so it was very nicely done. If it seems like I'm focused a little bit on the shoes around TSA, it's because you're right. To me, it's synonymous of the whole TSA culture of focusing and looking backwards, focusing on something that happened in the past and not thinking forward, being reactive, not proactive. You get, as I've said before, you get one guy tries to light his shoe on fire four or five years ago, and now millions of people are traipsing through airports in their bare feet, and which, by the way, takes up resources because it drives those lines all the way back. You've got to have more TSA folks manning more screening stations because it takes longer for people to get through, to take off their shoes, to get it on the belt, and then to put their shoes on at the back end. And at the end of the day, that's resources. That's money. That's our tax money that's being spent, and we're not getting security for it. They're focused on the wrong things, and they're making the travel experience just miserable. Now in the American Airlines Admirals Club in Orange County Airport, looking down over the gates and a bar. Nobody seems to be drinking. Nobody seems to be drinking any cocktails yet. It is, of course, it's 10 to 9 here.
But I don't know, there's somebody with some orange juice. There could potentially be a little bit of vodka in there. On the flight over this morning, I listened to some of the audio that I recorded last night in the Camelback Inn, and I dare say I had a bit too much reverb. I surrounded myself with a bit too much tile by standing in the shower stall. Anyhow, the second topic, using the iPod to reduce travel stress. A few months ago, Men's Health magazine quoted a number of studies demonstrating that stress is bad for you. The most recent of which is a Swedish study finding that chronic stress increases a man's risk of developing cardiovascular disease and having a fatal stroke. Not necessarily telling us anything new, but probably not a bad reminder. For me, the lousy state of the U.S. travel system, especially the air system, is probably my single largest source of stress. It may sound odd or a bit overblown, but when I do the math, 2 to 4 flights in a regular week, more on a heavy week like this, you know, at least 6 hours in the air, at least 3 hours in airports between departures and arrivals, if you do that math, it doesn't seem quite so overblown. And so if I connect the two thoughts, the study and the largest source of stress in my life, you know, the airlines and the TSA are killing me. This morning in Phoenix was a perfect example. My flight to Orange County was going out of Terminal 4, Gate C9. I arrived at the airport 90 minutes before boarding. That means for a 6:30 a.m. flight, I was at the terminal by 5 a.m., which means my alarm hit me at 4:15 this morning. The Memorial Day holiday traffic was definitely starting early. The security line for the sea gates had already filled all those little switchbacks. It was beginning to tail back all the way to the new sort of shopping mallette. What did the TSA do to alleviate this situation? Certainly nothing that I could see. They were still having everyone take off their shoes, and it didn't look like they were planning to open any more screening stations. Missed flights, well, that wasn't their worry. Southwest wasn't doing anything for the folks in line either. I found an employee tucked behind a customer service desk and asked her if the D gates connected with the C gates. And she said they did, so I just booked over to D gate security, where I found no line and was through screening in 5 minutes. However, no one from Southwest was trying to wave folks over. It seemed like they thought that the line was TSA's problem. I will say that Southwest held my flight at the gate for an extra 5 minutes to give people more chance to make the flight, but it certainly didn't reduce the stress of people deep in the security line. Indeed, I think it potentially increased the stress for some of the folks on the plane because it ended up causing us to be late coming into Orange County. So there wasn't any net stress reduction, just sort of stress transference. I was lucky this morning, but more often than not, I'm not. You know, during those unlucky times, the long security lines, the wait for delayed flights, the wait for the rental car bus after the delayed flight finally arrives, the iPod I've found is one of the best ways to sort of keep that stress at bay. And putting in the white earbuds and cranking up the tunes helps me sort of accept the helplessness of my situation. Doubt I'm achieving a complete Zen state with U2's Vertigo blasting in my ears, but I'm certainly in a calmer place than I would be without the iPod. A few weeks back, a flight attendant told me that he sees iPods everywhere on his flights. He told me he can tell the real road warriors by the fact that they've got the Bose noise-canceling headphones plugged into their iPods. Indeed, I see them everywhere, too, on planes, on trains, on people as they walk into their offices in the morning. You know, people are fending off the killer stress by enclosing themselves in their own envelope of music or spoken words, podcasts or books on tape. It's that one thing where they can wrap themselves and give themselves a bit of control over what is, you know, quite honestly, a more uncertain environment, an environment certainly in travel where they have less control. Now, if I could just wear my earbuds through the TSA shoe carnival. So for the last topic, classic travel stories, I'm back home Saturday morning the 28th. I did not have a chance to light up the Eye River and record my last segment while I was in Orange County. Just didn't have enough time between my last meeting and the United flight home yesterday afternoon. So here we go. We'll wrap this with very quickly classic travel stories. As I said at the beginning, I'd like to make this a reoccurring feature on the Travel Commons podcast. You get a group of road warriors together, give them a couple of beers, a little bit of pizza, and the stories just start coming. Guys talking about shooting charging grizzlies while inspecting the Alaska pipeline, or finally figuring out the origin of some original smells on Air Tunisia. Folks, rather than waiting for the flight attendants to pick up the meal trays, just shoved them into the back seat pockets and just closed up the trays and moved on. So you always hear those good stories. I'd like to share them, both mine as well as some of the best ones that I've heard from others. So one of mine, a few years ago, I was flying back from Cleveland, and from behind me, I heard some groaning. Looking back, I see a big guy sitting in the middle seat. I'm thinking, okay, it's uncomfortable, but I don't think it's really groan-worthy. Then I noticed that a woman and a man on each side of him were holding him in his seat. Looked like his mother and maybe his brother. The next thing I know, the guy breaks free, and he's headed up the aisle. I have to get out, he said. Unfortunately for him, we're about 30,000 feet over Lake Erie. Luckily, somebody ankle-tackled him, dropped him to the floor, but he just kept crawling up the aisle, and his mother's yelling, "Stop him, stop him." And as he passed each row of seats, more guys jumped up out on top of him. And he's still crawling. This is a big guy. Finally, enough guys jumped on him that he ended up stopping just about a row behind me. It was incredible. So then a few weeks later, I was on another flight back from Cleveland. I was on a project out of Cleveland, so I was commuting every week. And this time it was a commuter flight. It was a little later on in the evening. And now a guy two rows in front of me starts getting agitated. He looked like he'd been hit in his own private stash, both before and during the flight. So we're on the approach to O'Hare. We're coming around, and this guy pops out of his seat, yells, "They're going to get us," and makes for the back door. What is it with people from Cleveland? Are they just in such a hurry to get to Chicago that they can't wait for the plane to put down? The flight attendant ends up fighting him off, and some deadheading Continental pilot, good guy, ends up talking this lunatic back down, and then he gets him back into a seat, unfortunately one directly behind me. So now the guy is leaning forward, whispering in my ear, "We're going to need to get some big guys to get this done. Are you with me?" Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm with you, man. I just want the guy sitting back down." "Great," he says. "Great, that's fantastic." And then he belches. And I'm thinking to myself, this will be great. This guy's going to puke all over me. Well, we finally get the thing down to the ground. And of course, they pull us over into a remote spot. And we knew that this was coming. But then we had to wait and wait. We're keeping this guy calm. He keeps whispering in my ear. Finally, the doors open. Two Chicago cops walk in. The first thing they ask, "Is anybody going to press charges?" Flight attendant raises her hand. "I will." "Good," they said. Grabbed the guy, body slammed him into the aisle, face first. I don't think they broke his nose because we didn't see any blood. And hauled him away, and then they let us get off the plane. Months later, I was in D.C., and my wife called me, and she said that the FBI had left a message on our answering machine. What did they want, she asked me. I said, "Well, hell if I know." I called the agent back. He was actually based out at O'Hare, and he wanted to hear this story about the flight, about this flight from Cleveland and this guy. Turns out the guy had decided not to plead guilty, so they were rounding up all the witnesses. So I tell him the story, and I ask him, I said, "So does my story match everybody else's?" He said, "Yep, pretty much." And actually, our stories must have been pretty good because it never went to trial, or at least I never got called from the FBI again. So I'll tell you, ever since then, whenever I'm flying back from Cleveland, I'll tell you, I keep a sharp eye looking around at the other passengers. Okay, that's it. That's the end of this podcast, strung across multiple cities, coming to you from the Camelback Inn in Scottsdale, Arizona, the Orange County, California American Airlines Admirals Club, and a lovely scenic my living room. So anyhow, thanks for listening. Again, any comments, either directly email me comments at travelcommons.com. You can leave a comment on the travelcommons.com website. Thanks very much for those who have done that. Or always I take a look at the comment board on podcastalley.com. Thanks for the folks who voted for us on podcastalley.com. We broke 1,000 on the list. We're above 1,000, which, you know, for a brand new podcast, I don't think is too bad. So thanks very much. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. Those folks who listened to this before then, I'm going to get this up on the server later on today, Saturday. And for those folks who listened to it afterwards, I hope you had a great weekend, and we'll come and talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.